Blog Talk Radio. If you're waiting on hold, we will begin momentarily. Thank you.
Si estás esperando, vamos a empezar en unos momentos.
Мы сейчас будем, подождите, блядь!
All aboard, it's time for another Metal Injection live cast. Sid is not here, so of course, they replace him with Axl Rosenberg of Metal Sucks. God forbid they invite a goy. Anyway, here are the Jews, here's the show, with the Jews.
Thank you, Chuck Blandington, the Catholic announcer guy.
Is he Catholic?
Catholics don't have a denomination.
It's like, that's like kind of a Protestant sounding name, Blandington.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah. Or Islamic.
What?
I don't know.
What? Anyway.
And that reminded me, I neglected to play a little announcement from Chuck that was with the drops last time.
Oh.
But I didn't get to it. Where is it? Here it is.
Hello. This is Chuck Blandington. You may be wondering what I'm doing here. You pricks don't give me enough money, so I'm working for Spanky the motherfucking hippo. The drop of Noah saying,
I was trying to like spread myself out evenly.
Is not edited. Here is the full context.
Oh, wow.
And then after work, I went out drinking because a coworker of mine was leaving the company.
Mm-hmm. And that's more important than Sid, clearly.
Well, I mean, I already went to his wedding in the morning, so I was trying to, like, spread myself out evenly.
No comment.
Wow, great obscure drop.
Now but, I need hey, to go back to blowing Spanky for chump change.
Oh, okay.
And that's that.
We have a special guest sitting
Bravo.
In it. And his name is Axl Rosenberg of Metal Sucks.
Hello, Axl. Hey, guys.
Thanks for coming back on the show, Axl. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me back.
Anytime. You're filling in for Sid. You got very cynical shoes to fill.
You're in the Sid chair.
Cynical shoes.
He does hate cynic. That's a good point. And we will have Jim Brewer, comedian, SNL alum, heavy metal fan, and singer.
Well, he kind of talks throughout that song.
Mm. Well, we'll have him on the air. He'll be calling in shortly in about 15, 20 minutes. This is the Metal Injection live cast. And my name is Rob. Just in case you haven't heard the show before, I'm Rob. Mm-hmm. And that's Darren.
Hi, mm-hmm. I'm Darren.
Or 3D.
Oh, that's Noah, by
that's
the way.
That's me, Noah.
I'm still Axel.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have two names. If I call you by your real name, are you not going to speak to me anymore?
You know, why spoil the fun?
Yeah, The man wants to use his air name. He's in character. Why?
Well, I'm just
why
saying.
Why blow him up?
Because I might slip and call you by.
It's happened before,
real
and
name.
And the world has kept spinning. So
okay. We'll... Just making sure.
But don't fucking do it.
Yeah, don't you think about calling him Matt. His name is Axel, damn it.
Oh, you just did it.
He used a fake name just to make a joke.
Yeah.
Last time Vince was on, you guys called him Ben, like, within 2.3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Because he looks like more of a Ben than a Vince.
What does a Ben look like?
Like our friend Ben. For Metal Sucks.
Just that's because his name's Ben. That doesn't mean he looks like a Ben.
Well, it works in my mind.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're coming to you from Aruba, where it's fucking 70 degrees.
Yeah, like I'm sweating right now. I was
and humid.
Freezing.
And she's complaining about...
Ago.
It's supposed to be blizzarding right now, if it was the normal...
I'm not complaining.
You made this Jewy old 70-year-old face.
The only thing I'm complaining about, to sound like an old man, is the... Well, I'm glad, in fact, that we've passed the winter solstice now, because it's only going to get dark later here. But now it's like the earliest darkness of the year. So it's so depressing because I'm already waking up at like 1 in the afternoon.
You see 3 hours of daylight.
By the time I roll out of bed, it's already like 3. Like when I went out yesterday, I did nothing all day. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I stayed in bed at least like... Out of the 24 hours, I was in bed maybe 18 of those hours. It was great.
What were you doing in bed?
Just laying there sulking and just in my cocoon, re-energizing. I would get up to pee or take a hit of the bong, which would then proceed to put me back in the bed. And now it's a vicious cycle. And then finally I got up to go see Gorguts. But the point I was making is like by the time I rolled out of bed, I was walking out and it was sunset already. And I'm like, well, I really took advantage of the day.
Yeah, that's the worst. But even though, like you said, it's still now we're progressing towards the days getting longer again.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be fucking dark early for another 2 months, though.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Still bad.
Sure.
It's less and less bad.
Yeah, well, like, okay, it gets dark now. Like, sunset's at 4:45 or 4:25 is the solstice
like
sunset.
That.
So every day it gets darker a minute later, so it's going to be 60 days until sunset is at 5:30,
right.
Let's say. So that's 2 months from now.
And by then, doesn't it jump ahead an hour anyway?
No, that's I thought that was like in March or April.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That daylight savings, it's my. It's like, yes, spring is coming.
That's the one good thing that Bush ever did, which was change that from April to March.
The weird thing about that, though, is that's only in America.
Yeah.
The rest of the world still changes like a month later.
Yep.
So for those 4 weeks, all like the time differences are all messed up.
And all of America doesn't even do it.
What
Arizona,
do you mean?
Arizona doesn't observe daylight savings time.
Really?
Yeah. So they're right in the middle of it.
That's absurd. Oh wow. Mm-hmm. So if you take a flight from like one state over, it's suddenly an hour ahead.
Yep. Or if you just drive over the state line.
Right.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I mean, daylight savings time in general.
I think
pointless
it's
now.
Not stupid. It's Arizona is the one state doing it right, and the rest of the country is stupid. I think daylight savings time is idiotic.
Pointless.
Yeah. Campion in the chat asks, why is Rob hibernating? Because it's Saturday.
No, because he's seasonally depressed.
Oh, I'm definitely seasonally. Not really, no. But, I mean, it does bum me out walking out and not getting any sun.
You're
but...
hardly getting any vitamin D. If
yeah,
you're...
it's true.
He's so white, he's translucent right now. He's seen veins on him.
Yeah.
Needs to go. I've been meaning to go to a tanning salon because I hear it's good for my bum.
Really?
I still got that bump on because it's the heat.
All right, wait. What's
it.
The update on your ass?
Okay, well, so here's the update.
Can we have, like, update music or something?
First
very
of all, before you go into that, you should say for anyone
right, okay,
who doesn't
if you're
know
just tuning
happened.
In, what happened initially was I got very intoxicated and I was going home and I fell down the train steps and landed directly on my ass cheek
right.
to the point where I grew a third butt cheek.
And you can see video of that.
Yeah,
not of the accident, but of him mooning us.
Yes, YouTube.com.
Big fucking berry on his ass cheek.
YouTube.com/MILivecast to see
much
that.
Much bigger than a berry.
All right,
it's
so
like a half a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so the latest update on that is 2 weeks later, the bruising is all but, it's basically gone, but there's still a noticeable bump. It's smaller.
Uh-huh.
But, so I'm thinking, like, at this point, you know, well, if the bruising went away and it's still, like, inflated, mm-hmm. there's got to be something in there. So I went to go check.
There's probably so much, like, pus.
Right.
Or a tumor.
Well, so I went to go check it out, and I went to...
not a moment too late.
Not a moment. No, I think I'm very happy with the timeline of waiting.
Okay.
Because I feel like even if I went right as it happened,
yeah.
they would probably tell me to wait until the bruising went down.
Okay.
So the bruising went down, and you went.
And I went. And then it was the biggest bullshit ever, because...
Go on.
Well, I went to CityMD, which is like an urgent care center. It's basically like an upscale clinic that... They, like, if you go without insurance, which I don't have, it's only like $125 for the visit. So I'm like,
wait,
sure.
You don't have insurance?
No.
What are you going to do with Obamacare? Did you deal with that?
Oh,
yet?
No. I'm going to take the penalty.
Because
it's
cheaper.
So you're just going to go to the doctor and pay out of pocket if something happens to you?
Well, I'm going to... Well, okay. So I go to the doctor, and the guy... First of all, like, I'm seen by like three different nurse, this one woman comes in to check my blood pressure and temperature, mm-hmm. and she's like, all right, you're not sick. And I'm like, I know I'm not sick. Why did you just – they just have to do something to make it seem like it's worth the money you're spending.
Right. Yeah.
And then this other assistant comes in and asks me those questions. I wish there's like an iPhone app that could just like submit the answers to these. Like, do you have any allergies? You know, or do you have any history of diabetes? You know, like every time you go to the doctor, you have to answer these questions. And it's like, look, this is irrelevant.
My blood pressure.
Yeah, this is
irrelevant. Dude, you just took my blood pressure.
Yeah. And then finally, a doctor was about to come in, but then they were like, I was like, oh. Well, they were like, oh, what's the problem? And I'm like, oh, I have a giant lump on my ass. And then, so then they made me get into a gown.
A gown? Can you pull your pants down?
No, because, well, the doctor wants to take a look at you, so can you get in the gown? Because I guess they didn't want that whole...
They prefer to see Rob in a gown.
It was too sexualized.
The thing is, too, his gown...
Pulled his pants down.
The gown, by the way.
And it's another charge that they can add.
Exactly. It's like, see, we gave you a gown.
Did they give you slippers? Like those?
No slippers. I had my socks on. The gown was maybe meant for a person who was 5 foot tall because it was like a very skimpy dress.
Did you get to keep the gown?
No, I threw it out. I mean, I could have kept it, but I threw it out. So then when the doctor came in, he actually gave me another gown to put on my legs. And I was like, look, doc, I don't care. Like, let's just get to the... He was like, you know, I know this might be weird. Two strange guys just standing here. Show us your ass. Yeah. And I'm like, it wasn't weird a minute ago. But now that you contextualized it, it's definitely a little weird. But let's just get this over with. I really want to know what's wrong here. And
did you rip any farts while I was...
No. I made sure to shower thoroughly before going.
You got all the dingleberries?
Yeah, I wore a nice pair of boxers.
Took a shower.
You got to look good. You got to look good for the doctor.
What if the doctor's
cute?
Hey,
he's a doctor. You never know.
Hey, he's writing a report on my ass. I don't want... That should be on my permanent record.
When Rob sells metal injection, it'll be in the file. It'll be like, you know, dirty ass. I'm not buying. Fuck this.
The weirdest thing then was he's like, all right, well, show us where it is. And then, you know, I turn to my side and, like, show him my ass.
Well, the gown is open in the back,
yeah,
right? So your whole ass was hanging out
anyway. My ass was absolutely hanging out. But, like, I turned to the side so that where
you're
the lump is.
You're on the bed, right?
Yeah, I'm on the bed. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm on the side. So the lump is facing upward.
Right.
And he goes, all right, so where are we looking? I'm like, what?
What kind of doctor is this?
Because from the side, Rob's butt looks really perky, like he works it out, so he probably couldn't tell. You probably had to show him both cheeks so you could see the difference.
He saw both cheeks. No, I'm sorry. There is no... I have stared at this lump in the mirror very thoroughly.
I feel like this is a doctor that just started. Like, it's his first day, and he doesn't know where the ass is yet.
Yeah, it's so...
Like, so, okay, your ass.
It's
all right. He's stalling.
No, so then he's like, I'm like, it's right, like here. Now I have to, I like massage myself in the area where it is to be like, this is it.
That's my nose, doctor. Oh, yes, I know that. I was testing that. Right.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. Then he's like, oh, okay. Well, all right, well. And basically he was just like, well, we don't think it's bleeding because...
there's no blood coming out.
There's no
great,
blood.
Thanks, doctor.
Yeah, okay, well, like he's like, and we don't have, you need to have an ultrasound. You need to have a sonogram to see if there's anything in there. And I'm like, wait, was he implying that I have an ass baby? What's going on? No. But then I'm like asking him questions. He's like, these are all great questions that you're asking, but I won't be able to answer them until you get the sonogram. So I paid $125
for them to tell you to get a sonogram.
For them to go tell me to get a sonogram, and then I'm going to have to go back
and
pay for another visit. It's such a scam. I mean, to be fair, though, it's very, like, relatively speaking, it's very reasonable pricing. And it was a very clean facility. I didn't feel like at any point like I was going to get infected with HIV or something like that. So I do give them, like, at least I felt the comfort of being in a clean, like, upscale facility.
Like at Coney Island Hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
needles laying around.
Yeah, like, ugh.
Have you ever had to go to Coney Island Hospital?
Yes! They messed up my leg, I feel now, is permanently fucked up because when I broke it, I went there, and the way they placed it in the cast was at an angle, so that's how it healed.
They're the worst.
So Rob has one bow-legged.
I have like I have 7% loss of use of the leg.
It's all like Russian immigrant doctors that you don't even know if they have like a real degree.
Oh, I forgot to mention the best part. I went in, got x-rays. They gave me a half cast on my leg. Mm-hmm. The following morning, a screaming message on the answering machine. Mr. Pasbani, you have to return immediately. We gave you the wrong type of cast. Your full leg needs to be in a cast immediately. And I had to go back, and then they replaced it. And oh, it was amazing.
Except it was like, Bled, we fucked up your leg. Come back right now.
So at this point, I decided to clue my mom in on this. Because the whole point of time, I played it down just because, you know, like a Jewish mother, she worries.
Of course she does.
and then she just, she goes crazy. And like, she just gives me more unnecessary stress because of it. So I didn't really tell her. Now I was like, all right, so I have to go for sonogram. This is what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. I don't want, you know, it's fine. I don't feel any pain. Every day since then, my mom calls me like she is a doctor, and she's speculating with me. Like, what if it's this? What if it's that? What are you going to do if you have to have surgery? And it's like a thousand. And
what
I'm
if
like,
they need to remove your cheek?
And then like we had this whole conversation, and then she would go back. She's like, okay, so what happened? And I'm like, why am I repeating myself, dude? Like, this is the fifth time you've asked me. And then she's like, so what do you think is in there? I'm like, I'm not a doctor. If I knew what was in there, why would I go to the sonogram? I will go tomorrow. And then I'm like, and she's like, okay. You don't have, like, why are you suddenly getting aggravated? I'm just trying to talk to you here.
Robert, you had sonogram?
And
is it maybe it's baby?
5 minutes later,
is it S baby?
Maybe it's baby on your cheek. It could be good move.
I should finally be a grandmother.
Another 5 minutes later, again,
not
like,
from your sister, Blair.
She's like, do you think it's blood? I'm like, I don't know what it is. If I knew what it is. And I seriously was like, look, I'm not talking to you until I get my sonogram tomorrow.
Oh my God, it's then cancer. It's cancer.
I actually told her I was going to Sloan Kettering. She's like,
The cancer thing?
She's like, that's for cancer. I'm like, yes, they have machines there where you can go get tested. She's like, Robert, this is a good hospital, though. They know. So where did you go? Then she's like, she thought I went to like a ragtag clinic, you know? She's like, what? How did they send you there? How did they...
Did you touch any of the Medicaid people? Don't sit in waiting room. It's no good. It's not fresh. You may, you know, you sit in the waiting room, you may find the putzy cribs or something. Or chlamydia. Don't sit down. Bring cushion. And then burn the cushion when you leave. Robert.
So yeah, that's my ass update.
Just in time for Jim Brewer. I think he called in and then hung up.
Oh, no.
He's like, he probably thought he'd call like a Russian.
There he is. I think that's him right there. We're going to have Jim Brewer on the line momentarily. Quick reminder, if you want to call in and ask Jim a question, you can do so right now by dialing 646-929-1357. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Great. Thank you so much for giving us a call and hanging out with us here on the live cast. How's everything going with you?
Good, man. It's a good Sunday. Good little mental Sunday before the madness all kicks in a couple days.
Right. Yeah. Now, you, speaking of the holiday madness, you have a new single out, Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. That's some good segue right there, I think.
Good job.
I think it was a brilliant segue. I wouldn't even question it.
Rob needs a constant positive reinforcement.
Well, you just got robbed. That was one of the most... I've been listening to radio for 25 years. That was the smoothest segue I've heard in a lifetime. I'm a big Howard fan. That was something straight out of the Stern book. You are brilliant, my friend. And I'm glad you brought up Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town, the new single. Thank you, sir.
Oh, wow. That is the highest of compliments. So what did you decide to put out a metal song? I know you're obviously a huge metal fan.
Well, I'm doing a metal album. Here's where it really started. I'm going to be honest. I'd love to say, like, I had this brilliant idea. Here's where it really went down. I am making a record. in January. It's comedy and metal. Maybe one or two actual metal songs with real metal guys. The names are, I can't confirm the names until we do it. But, you know, I'm also starting to get booked for festivals next year. I'm going to be on Rock on the Range and Shiprocked. It's a metal cruise and a metal festival in Tennessee. And what happens is people go, well, we see Brewer at Orion. I think I heard he was on the Orion Festival, Metallica's Orion or Wacken Metal Fest or whatever. But what is this? Mm-hmm. And everyone asks me, what is it? Is it Tenacious D? Is it like Sandler? Like, what is it? And every time I try to explain it, I'm like, it's comedy, but it's metal. It's like, was it singing? So before the wreck came out, I have to say, I went with this management company, 5B Artist Management, and they got Slipknot and like Buck Cherry, and these guys, and they go, you know what? You ever think of doing a Christmas song to kind of give a buffer and everyone kind of gets the idea that you're going to be doing real kick-ass metal music and comedy? And I said, you know, I always want to do a Christmas song, but I always want to do it I want to do a parent's view where I'm yelling at the kids to tighten up before Santa. And they went, oh my God, you can do that? So we did it. It released. It did good. The people that love it are the people I want to love it. You know, I put out a lot of family comedy, and some people are like, oh, that's very aggressive. It's very angry. Like, it's metal, dope. That's what metal is. It's not Phil Collins singing to Megadeth. And I mean, that's what metal is. It has an aggressive tone to it. So
have you previously been confused for Phil Collins? Is that why you're bringing this up?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, another fantastic segue, by the way. That is two. Let me put that on the chalkboard as well. I mean, you're close to brilliance. This is scaring me.
It's okay.
I'm not sure if I'm deserved. No, but you know, you just get people that are either going to love it or they're not into it. And I think the metal world likes it, and that's all I care about.
Cool. Well, we actually
have the world I'm going for.
We have somebody from the metal world, a member of Pig Destroyer, on the line right now. Hello.
What's going on, guys? Am I on?
You are on. This is Blake.
You are on.
How's it going?
Blake, do you have a question
Good
for
man.
Jim Brewer?
I actually do. I mean, I was just basically calling in to talk shit to you guys, but it's cool I get to talk to Brewer. Brewer, man, I hope this isn't too out of line, but I love when you do your Brian Johnson impersonation, man. So I was wondering if you could do a little of that for me.
Listen, I can tell you this. I can tell you this, and I appreciate your phone call. But I will say this. Come January, I can't really leak it out, but I can assure you that me and Jim Brewer are family around the gold, boy. My pit.
I love it, man. I love it when he's like, oh, is this that goat? Are you the goat boy?
This is a goat man. And listen, I seen you doing the hokey pokey. And I like to come and do it with you.
Awesome. Well, Blake, we have a few more callers. We're going to put you on hold, though. We'll get back to you, Blake.
Blake, have a good one.
Maybe I see a Jim Brewer Pig Destroyer co-headlining run in the future, maybe, once you get that album out and need to do some touring. Make that happen.
That would be nice.
Now, Jim, are you basically, you said you have all these metal gigs lined up. Is metal working like the metal comedy circuit? Do you feel like that's a thing now?
Well, not that it's a thing, but it just makes sense. I destroy, you know, when I played Wacken open, I mean, that's as metal as you can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I played there 2 years in a row. And I'm in Europe, full-blown metal festival, and I crushed with my band and doing what I do. And this is something I've been doing for 15, 20 years. I just never really recorded it or put it out there. And then right. I did it Sonosphere, and like I said, Metallica's Orion. So it just makes sense that this is the world to put it out in, because I did it in the comedy world, and they don't get, if they're not metal fans, they don't like, if I go to a comedy club or a theater, they're coming to see Jim Brewer, the comedian. So when I go, yeah, Metallica, yeah, ooh, a quarter of the audience is howling, and the three-quarters of the audience is like, who's he doing?
Don't get it.
Who's Megadeth? So this is a specific audience, and when I play the specific audience, because I know it so well, it goes over well. And this is something I've been dying to do. So, yeah, I hope to be in this circuit for a long time.
Since you said that you played Vakan, I mean, I always thought that the European sense of humor is much different than people in America. Did you find there to be some type of barrier, or were they just like so drunk or high that it didn't even matter?
Well, when I played there, it was, I did a completely different show. I did specifically rock and party material. So they got it just as hard as the crowd in Boston or in Tennessee would get it. So I can't really, I will say when I just do straight up stand up, yeah, it's a little different. But when I got the band backing me and I'm talking about Ozzy and Metallica and metal and hair metal and the party days and this, they can relate. And they loved it. Loved it.
Cool. And are metalheads a easy crowd to win over, or would you say they're more tough to win over?
No, I think they're tougher to win over. You know, this is when I knew. This was a turning point for me. The first real festival, this is before Vakan, was Sonosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Big Four was playing. And literally, it was Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. And I showed up to the comedy tent, and my kids were there and my wife were there, and there was about 7,000 drunk English animals in the audience. And the guy on stage before me goes up, and he's got a guitar, and I went, oh, no, man, I should have brought a guitar. He's going to hoop them up. And they booed him off the stage, and they threw stuff at him. And I told my wife to get in the dressing room. Don't watch this. It's going to be ugly. The minute they say I'm from America, it's going to be ugly. And the minute I start doing my stand-up, they're going to throw stuff at me. And she looked at me, and she's like, are you really scared? I went, yeah. They're booing him off the stage. He's got a guitar, and they're throwing things at him during his songs. She's like, Jim, you're metal. Don't you remember all those shows you used to do when you were younger with the band, and you're metal. Do all your metal stuff. I went, oh, my God. She's like, remember in the 90s, you used to imitate concerts. You used to do all the impressions. This is your audience. And I swear on my kids' lives, it was like a light bulb. Bing! And literally as she's telling me that, I was like, we're German, this bloke is from America. Please give him on, kids. Be cool. Here's Jim Brewer. And I went out. And they're booing, and I went, hey, how about for the Big Four? Where's my metalheads? Ah, how about Metallica? Ah, and then I literally did an impression of everyone in Metallica, and then I just improvised them meeting Ozzy and Rob Halford, and then all of them going to, I think, a disco and stomping and then doing their own song. And I improvised 20 minutes of doing every metal god I love, and I wrecked the place. I had them singing Bingo before I left. It was hilarious. And that was the moment where I realized, oh my God, it was like a Blues Brothers who I went, we got to get the band back together. Because if I could do that without a band, with the band, it's going to be ridiculous. Make it a party.
And you mentioned Metallica. I think it's really cool that one of your biggest fans, perhaps, is James Hetfield. And those guys invited you to their 30th anniversary shows to MC. They're giving you a bunch of gigs. How cool must it be to – I'm sure you're a huge Metallica fan – to get that love back from them?
Well, none of that, but James approached that in a manner of, he's like, hey, dude, what are you doing in December? I said, ah, you know, I'm all right. I said, you working a lot? I'm like, eh, we'll see. A couple days later, we're doing kind of this cool thing. It's kind of a thing we want to do for our fans. It's really private, and we want to give back to our fans and kind of do, like, this really cool interactive thing, and you should really be there. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll see what day. Then it turned into, would you be into, remember when you interviewed us? Yeah. He goes, we loved when you did that. You create all these cool game shows. He's like, that was, will you do that for our fans and our shows? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, sure. Because we just really want the fans to have a good time. So, okay. I had no clue it was going to be Ozzy
Ivan was there.
Dave Mustaine, Rob Halford. It was one. And I'm just hanging out with all of them, and I'm doing shows, and I tell you, people say was your career in your life meeting Joe Pesci and De Niro on Saturday Night Live, being the movie Half Baked, blah blah. I swear to God, only the people in the metal and rock industry that love that world can appreciate when I say, you want to know the real highlight in my career? Is singing with Rob Halford, the Devil's Child, toe-to-toe with the metal god, and the other was hosting Metallica's 30-year anniversary. Those stomp anything I've ever done in my career. For me, personally, when I get a big smile on my face, those bring big smiles on my face.
That's cool. And one of the other guys there was Dave Mustaine. We're big fans of Dave Mustaine in person.
Oh, love him. Yeah. Love Dave. And I'll tell you one of the greatest moments during that thing, and I'm sure just like you, I got a little metal woody when I saw Dave next to Hetfield jamming next to each other, smiling, and we were playing Hit the Lights, and there was part of me going, could there possibly be a song together here in the future? How great would that be? Jay-Z and Dr. Dre getting together.
That was right before that kicked world. James in the shin.
Dave Mustaine, and James, yeah.
It's like I'm talking to myself here.
It's really good, man.
All right, we have a caller. By the way, if you want to call and ask Jim Brewer a question, the number to dial 646-929.
Dude, that's really funny. I'm telling you myself here.
Yeah, I'm like looking in a mirror right now. I'm killing this crowd right now. I am just killing it. I should give up.
Do this song for a second.
646-929-1357. That's the number to dial.
Hello, Dave. Meet the real Dave.
Here we go. caller from our chat. Dead Stretch, you're on the air.
Oh, man. Sounds like you guys got started already. It's more of a challenge.
Yeah.
Since both, Jim, we know you're great at impressions of great metal gods.
Yeah.
But because you already heard Darren, that's our great impression guy.
Yeah.
Let's do a conversation. Jim, you do James Hetfield, and Darren will do Dave Mustaine. And let's make something about the holidays and how Metalhead looks at my assumption.
He's our program director.
Yeah, he's setting up a whole improv. Okay, I need a situation. I need two characters. I need James Hetfield, and I need the Dave Mustaine. Now I need a place for them to be. Holidays, perfect. That's more of a subject. Okay, so the subject is holidays, James Hetfield talking with Dave Mustaine. Okay, let's see how this goes. Now remember, you always, always, never say no.
Always say yes.
There's... Let's see. We'll do a 30-second one. Ready?
Go.
Right, we're talking to each other on the phone. All right?
Why are you calling? Yeah, what? Who the hell is this?
Hey, Dave, it's James.
Oh.
I was wondering, dude, if you wanted to go to the mall and do some Christmas shopping. Yeah!
Well, unfortunately, I don't leave my house. I'm under armed guard right now. I'm so popular. It's just real hard. Everyone tries to take shots at me when I think it's Obama. Whenever I try to leave my house, someone's doing something really weird. And it scares the shit out of me.
I think I can help you, dude. Hold on. First of all, I got to give you a big, ooh, that sucks. Hold on a second. Someone wants to talk to you, dude. Dave, this is Dave. Dude, it's Lars. I gotta be honest with you. I get the whole lockdown, but you know, when it comes to this whole situation, it's just like you gotta tell them it's the holidays. And I know people that have. Hold on a second. This guy wants to talk. Go ahead, you talk to him. Listen, I'm the fucking Christian darkness. I usually tell them. You struggle and you guys to do what she wants to do because it's the holidays.
Wait, what was that, Ozzy?
Hey, dude, you just heard it from the Prince of Darkness, dude. I mean, hold on a second.
There
you go. I mean, just tell them Ozzy and James. I mean, you got two. Hold on a second. Halford's here. Hello? Listen. When it comes to these situations, you got to stick with your metal instincts. And if your metal instincts tell you that this is not a good thing, then maybe that's something you should abide by.
All right, I can't follow
James,
that.
James, do you have any input with that? Yeah! Listen to him!
That was amazing.
Brilliant.
Wonderful.
Dude, that's the funniest mistake I ever heard, though. Like, that makes me belly laugh. That's a good one, man. When we're doing I'm doing this record in January, I need you as Dave Mustaine. That's freaking hilarious.
Shit. Sure. Contract signed.
I'm there.
Contract done. Negotiating. Over. I'll give you 3 chocolate cookies.
That's
funny.
Eat.
So, Dave, do you... chocolate chip cookies?
Like I told you, I have a lot of dietary restrictions. I'm a very fair-haired, fair-skinned ginger.
Listen, as you get older, you really want to take in consideration your health, you know? And there's nothing more important than mental health.
I agree. I mean, how much longer do I have? I look like an old lesbian.
Dude, don't feel bad. I just turned 50, huh?
Look at my face. It's got more pups.
Dude, have you seen my... Do not for nothing, but your face always looks like you just walked in the toilet after Ozzy just dropped the deuce.
I look like I just walked into a beehive.
We have someone to join the impersonation party. Phil from the UK calling in. Okay. Are you really
nice.
From the UK, Phil?
Oh, so, hey there. I'm not exactly metal, but I certainly have a rock out, and, I heard Lars, you used to play tennis, didn't you, Lars?
Dude, first of all, that's the best high-pitched Eric I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard high-pitched Eric attempt to be English, but I've got to say, I loved you on this game show that you played a couple days ago on the Stern Show, huh? Say it again, dude, sorry.
Do you still play tennis?
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you wanna still, I'd love to have a game with you, a little match, a little back and forth with some high pitch and some little Lars legs would be great, huh?
There you go, Phil.
I just want to say that if you still play tennis, I just want to make sure that you stretch out those creamy old hamstrings so that I can give you a game set and what they call match. Mm.
Dude, I was really expecting that to end with a ball joke, but you did your best attempt, huh?
All right, thanks a lot, Phil. All right, the number to dial, we have a few more minutes with Jim, 646-929. 1357.
The only guy in Metallica that plays sports is James. He plays soccer. He was practicing by kicking my dog. That piece of shit.
Dave Mustaine still pissed about James Hetfield kicking his dog.
I don't care that it was 35 years ago. Still hurts.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I said I was sorry. I mean, it's time to move on. Time to move on.
Moving on is not one of my strong points. So.
This guy seems completely out of character. He needs to go to therapy or something, you know. I mean, he's a situation. He's really got. You can get something in, you know.
Dude, I'm not really sure what he just said, but I'm sure it was something with a positive influence, huh?
The next time I see James Hetfield on stage, I'm going to pull a Randy Bly.
Oh! Whoa!
Now, listen, it's still listen, you always got to remember that we're all part of the metal family. And the last thing you want to do is, metal is about unity and sticking together.
Dude, very well said, Rob. Very well said. James, you agree?
Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Is Jim still there?
I am here.
Zone. He's channeling everybody.
Jim, you know, I guess it's just easy for you to, like, not have a TV. If you ever got stranded in the woods or something, you can just be your own entertainment system.
Let me tell you something. I'd entertain myself for hours, and I've given myself many. You know how I pass time away? I swear to God. If there's no TV on a plane, I got to be on a plane 6 to 8 hours. In my head, I recycle concerts that I've seen. And I literally go through Dio in 1988, Priest 1982, Metallica during the Injustice for All. I literally, it passes the time frame. And I act the whole thing out in my head. And I visualize. The people around me think I'm nuts. But... yeah, I can entertain myself for centuries if I were to live centuries.
Good to know. I wanted to quickly mention Half-Baked, one of my all-time favorite movies. I personally watched I created my own stoner edit, which is the point on the bridge where he talks to the joint, and the joint talks back to Dave Chappelle, and she's like, "You want to smoke me, don't you, Dave?" And he goes, "Yes." That's it. That's the end of the movie for me.
He watches that on a loop for 2 hours.
That's all. But I wanted to know, I mean, obviously while you were shooting, you guys weren't smoking pot, but how much pot
Dave
was...
was.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. 24/7. Cut. I'm in action.
So is that a little weird having like the guy in charge sort of be like super baked? Or was he not like...
No, because he got to do his lines over and over. So it's like, you know, movies are the easiest thing in the world. When you get to do as many takes as you want, God, it's a great thing. But no, Dave was brilliant during that. And no, it's just, you know, some people smoked, some people didn't. I wasn't during filming.
That's just
Dave. Yes, Dave, and Dave might have been the only one. Out of the four of us, it was me, Guillermo, and Guillermo doesn't at all. That was Cuban beat. Yeah. He didn't, Scarface, he didn't at all either. So it's my first and only movie, so I was trying to act my balls off. I was scared to get stoned.
What about John Stewart? Did he smoke up?
I wasn't there in that scene when they filmed, so I don't know. I know Willie Nelson, of course, did, and probably half the other people that showed up. Snoop Dogg did.
Do you ever go back and look at that movie, like, just as a fan and, like, watch it high, or is it, like, because you're in it, you can't appreciate it the same way as fans?
I got to be honest with you. I look at it. The only time I've seen it full length was right before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other time I looked at it was maybe I caught part of it about 5-6 years ago, I saw it on like Comedy Central or something, like MTV or one of those things, and there was only one, the section that was on, and I got to say, I made myself belly laugh. It was, I was in a van, and they were talking about the big thing where we were going to go in there and try to, you know, capture Samson saying the right thing, and the cops looked at me and they said, "Are you paying attention?" And I just gave this big look, and I went, "No, man." I don't know why that was so funny, but I cracked up and went, "Oh, good." I just cracked myself up. But okay. I couldn't watch the rest because I still just, all I see is like, "Oh, I remember that. I remember that day. And I remember the craft guy was fighting with his girlfriend. And I just remember so many different things rather than the actual scene of what you're seeing. It's almost like you go to a house and you see it painted. You go, "Wow, do you still look at it?" I said, "No, I remember when the guy was, when they were putting it up and this guy was talking about this and they were arguing about how they were going to put the 2x4. It's a completely different view for me. I hate saying that, but it's just the truth."
Oh, no, that's very, very interesting info right there. And, yeah, so thank you so much for calling in and hanging out with us. And
God, dude, thanks.
Oh, Noah has a
question. Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
Going back to Santa Claus ain't coming to town, you sing about you know, your kids having to do chores and stuff. Who is responsible for the Christmas presents? Do your kids still think it's Santa Claus, or do they know it's from mom and dad?
The youngest one still is Santa. Elf on the Shelf and Santa. She's 9. And the other two literally are threatened daily if they were to drop that ball. And to their credit, they have let that kid still live that, you know, little fantasy of. So my youngest one is still Santa. And I have to say, I'm having more. I used to hate the Elf on the Shelf, but it's a freaking ball what we come up with him every night. We have him taped up. He tapes up. Our Elf on the Shelf is mischievous, so he tapes up stuffed animals against the walls when we put little Tinker Toys pointing guns at them. It's freaking. She wakes up and says, "Oh my God, Dad, see what the elf did? He tied up my stuffed animals and all my Tinker Toys are facing guns at him." Man, he's pretty crazy, ain't he? We had him the other night with an empty bottle of champagne, face down, with his shirt off. It's freaking hilarious. She's like, "He was drinking." I said, "He must drink. I don't know. This one's mischievous, man. I don't know."
That Elf on the Shelf creeps me the fuck out, man.
It creeps me out too. If I was a kid, no way would I be into that thing. No, right. No way. I got to talk low because I know she's in the other room.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to talking about metal children, you got to keep them alive with the Santa fantasy.
Cool.
Who all else right. does Halford, man? Hey, thank you guys, and I appreciate. No, I mean, I know you gave much props to the song, and I appreciate it. And
yeah, we're gonna play it right now, actually.
Cool. I think people, you know. This is the one thing. I was scared to death to put a record out only because I don't want people to go, "Oh, this is a comedian." And I take the music very seriously. And I think when you listen to Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town, you hear the music and you go, "Oh, yeah, the music rocks." To me, that's the most important part.
Very catchy.
And it's available now on iTunes, right?
The video's out, too. My daughter's in it. My nephew's in it. You can see it on my jimbrew.com or something.
Cool, cool. Well, Jim, when you
Thanks,
have full length out, maybe you could stay on a bit longer. We could hang out the whole show.
Dude, let's do that. We'll do a whole shebigo. Because we're going to be promoting your buddy there doing Dave. So, yeah, I have to have Dave on there.
Of course, clearly. All right, Jim Brewer, Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. Jim, could you give us a quick Metal Injection livecast plug as Lars?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'll do it as everyone.
Oh, awesome.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hey, dudes.
This is James Hetfield. Jeff! You listen to Metal Injection. Dude, let me tell you something. If you're going to ever inject anything in your life, normally I wouldn't support it. But if it's metal, I would, huh? A metal injection is the only thing to do. This is Rob Halford, the metal god, and I'm injecting the metal injection.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right, thank you so much.
Guys.
We're going to let you go and play the song. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. That was Jim Brewer. His new single is called Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. Blake from Pink Destroyer is still on the line. As soon as we're done with this music break, Blake, if you're still around, we're gonna get to you, buddy. For now, check out the Jim Brewer track.
Oh, Merry Christmas, boys and girls. Now, listen, I know we're excited because Santa's coming, but we're going to have to go over our little list first and make sure that everyone's been a good boy and girl. Okay?
You're listening to the show that Kerry King of Slayer plays on his iPod whenever he's not busy watching Schindler's List. Backwards. It's the Metal Injection Livecast.
meet the real me. And my misfits way of life. Dark black past is my most valued possession. Hindsight is always 20/20, but looking back, it's still a bit fuzzy. We speak of mutually assured destruction. Nice story. Gotcha. Me again. You can subdue but never tame. It gives me a migraine headache. Sinking down to your level. Yeah, just keep on thinking it's my fault. And stay an inch or two at a kicking distance. Mankind has got to know his limitations. Your back.
Slaves, Hebrews born to serve, to the Pharaoh, to his every word, live in fear. Ah, the good old days, when Jews did what you told them to do, like building pyramids for free, instead of sitting around for 2 hours talking about penises and assholes and jerking off into Doritos bags. You're listening to the Metal Injection Live Cast. Took a while, but Rob is finally done eating that plate of ribs he ordered during the music break. So we now return to the Metal Injection Live Cast. Please excuse the mess.
Oh, those are some good ribs.
That's not rib juice, that's Rob ass juice.
Ah!
Can I ask you a question, Rob?
Yeah, sure.
I've been wondering. So, when they extract all the pus and blood and whatever inflammation is in there, are you going to look?
Yeah. I'm going to take a photo of it.
Are you going to drizzle your ribs with it?
Oh, no.
It'll probably taste like rib
no,
barbecue
blood,
sauce.
Stop
blood,
it.
Like
stop it.
No, I'm saying
no.
You've eaten so
you're
much.
You're ruining ribs for me.
You've no. eaten so many ribs that your pus tastes like
and
rib juice.
There's going to be lard in there mixed with it, too.
Oh,
dude, I bet you can like get real high from it.
You smoke it?
Yeah. You replace right, the point. Bong water with your ass pus.
Let's go through our music break really quick. Oh. We kicked it off with Jim Brewer, Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town.
They want to know if you're going to froth your ass pus.
Oh, yeah, that'll definitely do. I'll put it in my espresso. Then we had some Megadeth Sweating Bullets since Darren was killing it with a Mustaine. And then we ended it with a little new Pig Destroyer from their album Book Burner, The Diplomat. Blake, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I was just kind of hanging on to listen to the show because I'm not in a place where I could get Wi-Fi.
Oh, nice. Cool. Thanks for listening.
So it's not like I really have anything to talk about too much. You know, we're playing New York coming up, but that's about
it. We'll be there. That's exciting. It's a sort of free show.
Where in New York?
St. Vitus. It's Red Bull is doing something with this. I think it's like $3 or something like that. Yeah, I'm super informed.
Now, Blake, when we last spoke, I believe it was at the Guarbecue, you mentioned how you wanted to do a podcast and you needed to get off your ass and do it. This is me publicly calling you out. Get off your ass and do that podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, the worst part is I've had no excuse because up until recently I was laid off for a couple of months. So I still want to do it. I just kind of want to do it with my co-host. But I used to do a show on seven years ago with Jason from Misery. So I kind of wanted him to. We did Liquid Metal, I guess, before, you know, the merger and everything.
Yeah.
So he's, I think, finishing up with school. He's actually in town working on the Misery record now. Saw him tonight. We played the Fillmore in D.C. And, yeah, he's actually in town. So I think we talked about it a little bit last night to try to get it back together once things die down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. And when you guys are in New York City, I think it's on a Saturday, but if you're on sometime during the week, if you come in the day before, whatever, you can come in, Liquid Metal do a little takeover as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Typically, you know, we just, you know, because of it's us, we don't really do too much, so we just kind of drive in and drive out, fly out, whatever we got to do, so.
Fly in, fly out. You guys are such rock stars. I love it. But you guys have it. I like the not touring thing. Like, I feel like if I was in a band, I would hate touring. So I like that you guys only do like a few shows, do some European stuff before you can really get sick of being on the road.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get sick of each other that way, too. You know, it's like, it's just enough. We just hit Richmond and, like I said, DC last night. So it was a fun little time. And, you know, I'm kind of licking my wounds today, recuperating a little bit.
Are you still bringing out that, like, you always bring out sharp objects?
No, that's been a while. I don't think, well, last night we played the film, but it's a Live Nation venue, man. We're not having any of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not. We couldn't even bring bottles on stage, so.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, all right. We'll let you keep listening.
Of the show. Real quick, I just want to say goodbye.
Oh, wow. All right.
Hey.
I guess he's a listener of the show. That's awesome. Bless you, Blake.
I hope he has unlimited minutes.
Well, it's the weekend.
It would suck if he doesn't.
It's the weekend. I would assume he would. Hopefully he doesn't have a burner. That wouldn't be nice. So we're here on the live cast. We're here with Axel Rosenberg of Metal Sucks. Number to dial, 646-929-1357. Jim Brewer is no longer going to be calling into the show.
Good. Stop staging me. How dare he? It's worse than James Hetfield.
Darren might be booking a gig with Jim Brewer.
Does Jim Brewer have a dog? Kick that fucking thing.
For three chocolate chip cookies? Was that the deal?
That was the deal. Would you do it for that much, or would you want a little bit?
He said yes, and I hate to break to you, in this state, oral agreement is binding.
I didn't hear him say that. Really? I missed that.
He did say, well, man, I'm sure there could be some negotiating. You need to get a lawyer.
I know a lot of good Jew lawyers.
I was about to say.
Or we could just erase this MP3 and delete it.
Yeah, never post the archive, and then... we're good to go.
And then we can get that fourth cookie.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I want a whole Oreos package.
Excellent. So it's almost the end of the year. Christmas is this Wednesday.
Fuck.
Since we're all Jews here,
I was going to ask, what's it to you, Rob? You're a Jew.
I like the Christmas season.
You say that like you're not.
I am.
I'm fine. You know what? This year, more so than I feel the last 5 years, mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with Christmas. I kind of like going into the city because you know SiriusXM is like in Rockefeller Center. Before,
it's in the worst place.
I would just hate everybody around me. Now I'm like kind of fine with it. Now I'm all right with it. I'm like, it's so.
Is it because you have a new lease on life ever since you fell and hurt your ass?
Yeah, maybe that's it. The third butt cheek got me in the Christmas gear.
So you're no longer thinking things like this, right?
Jose Maggot is a
piece of shit. Let's hear that again, because Axel.
Jose Maggot is a piece of shit.
Look sharp.
high accent.
That's Rob's voice.
No, I understand. That's why I made that face.
On my birthday, we did a thing where if you called in, I would say anything you want me to say.
Right, sure.
And somebody wanted me to say that false.
Right,
some lie.
Sure.
I love Jose Mangan. He gave me a great gig.
Let's go to the videotape.
Jose Mangan is a piece of shit.
Damn it. You'll never let Rob live that one down.
I want to, like, secretly make it your ringtone and then call you when you're in the room with Jose.
What?
You not only think I'm a piece of shit, but you made it your ringtone?
So, Jose, I've been working here a long time. I was thinking maybe I was due for a raise. Jose Mangan is a piece of shit. It would be phenomenal.
No fair.
He did also say this, though.
I love Jose Mangan.
There. But that didn't sound as sincere.
What?
This doesn't sound right.
Not fair. Not fair. Jose Mangan is a piece of shit.
He sounds all happy and And you also said Jose Maggot. I don't know. I brought that up last time.
What?
He definitely does. There's some kind of strange pronunciation of the Maggot.
Jose Maggot is a piece of
Jose
shit.
Jose Maggot.
No, I said Maggot.
It just sounded like Rob's nose was full.
Yeah.
Jose Maggot is a piece of shit.
I hear Maggot. I'm sorry. I hear Maggot.
You hear what you want to hear, Darren.
Well, I'm trying to give you an out. You were talking about Maggot.
Yeah, Jose Maggot. You're right. That's a good one.
I hear Maggot.
Mexico's biggest Slipknot fan.
I like it. 646-929-1357.
Boy, what's not to like about Christmas? I mean, it's like totally secular anyway. It's not like you're really celebrating Jesus or anything.
Well, the Fox News people, I hate that. I hate the war, like the people against the war on what the whole fucking world revolves around, there's no war. Like, Christmas isn't going away.
The war is anyone not celebrating Christmas is waging a war on Christmas, even if they're just doing it personally. Like, if I, you know, give Hanukkah presents to my kids, I am waging a war on Christmas.
It's ridiculous.
It's persecution to Christians is not every single Christian, obviously. But I used to be able to do things and everyone else had to conform to me, and now they don't, and that shit pisses me off. That's persecution.
And the other side of it, I think, that's terrible is how corporations basically co-opt the holidays for their own branding.
Santa Claus, as we know him, designed by the Coca-Cola Corporation.
Yeah.
that
story came out earlier.
Crazy to me.
that
has somehow become the symbol of Christmas. Mm. And first of all, it doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas. And second of all, it was designed by a soda company.
Well, Santa Claus was actually a black man. I don't know that.
Well.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, St. Nicholas was from Turkey.
Like, yeah, like Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern, yeah. But Santa was a total branding thing by Coke, right, in the early 1900s or like late 1800s.
Right.
And the consumerism basically swept into modern culture. Because, sure, why not? It's a great story. It's a great, like, Miracle on 34th Street was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Mm-hmm. But chill out.
No, but I enjoy this. I enjoy the season. I see no reason to be, you know, grouchy.
Yeah. Like that anti-Christmas special. That was when I was like, I hate it. One thing I do hate about Christmas, though, is Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. Because that is such a waste of energy not to be like a hippie. It's on every level, it seems excessive. Because not only are you wasting energy, like the world's resources beyond the hippie shit, you're raising your fucking electric bills so high for what?
For Jesus.
But don't you feel that way about Times Square year round?
Oh, absolutely. Like that.
I'm always like, when we're freezing to death and there's no food, we're going to be so happy we made a McDonald's sign you can see from space. So worth it. So worth it.
Yeah, like, I think about that even when like a business leaves their lifetime overnight. Like, why? Yeah, I mean, I understand why, just like to market the product.
I agree.
But it's like, oh, what a waste.
I don't know why we've got light in this room right now.
Yeah, turn off, hippie. I don't
even have electricity.
Wow.
Nice. I used to have electricity before I got cool. Now it's just,
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat, Vampiro, mentioned the
Vampiro!
Vampiro, sorry. Mentioned the crazy Christmas lights in Diker Heights. Diker Heights basically like the Italian suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's like basically like a dick length contest. Like everyone has to show like what like the
what
house
greater Christmas attractions
yeah, like,
they have.
I love Jesus more.
Yeah.
Like it's seriously insane how they
some people spend like tens of thousands of dollars on like these Santa sculptures and like reindeer and baby Jesus.
And they're like
whatever.
Animated. Like yeah. You see some I mean some of it is very pretty for a minute, but then you think about all the money that was blown on it.
The people who live, for those of you who don't live in New York, Diker Heights is like where the Brooklyn version of the Jersey Shore people live. It's sort of very Guido-fied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Guidos love Christmas.
Well, nothing wrong with Christmas, but they overdo it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. The pride of it. It's like, chill out. And also then I noticed when I used to live in that area that the people with the fanciest decorations were the last to take them down.
Of course.
Because they're like, oh, if I spend all this time doing it, you better see it.
How's your mother on Christmas? Like, what do they because they're Jewish, they don't
it
mess with it at all?
Means nothing.
They just don't. Are they like militant about it, or they just don't bring it up?
No, yeah, it's just not in their lives.
Like, if you came in the house to visit them and you had a Santa hat on or something, would they freak out or like, no. Well, you're Jewish?
No. Well, they might actually no, but I don't think it was just never a thing. Like, we celebrated Hanukkah the way. You would like I would get a Hanukkah present.
A now you didn't get
one.
Any of them.
No, just one cheap.
Did you guys light the menorah?
We always try. We would do it on the first night, but I remember like by like the fourth night, we was like, man,
forget it's there. It's still lit on June 21st.
They never had like the one with like the light bulbs. It was always just like the real candle.
Yeah, the
so
candles.
They all melt.
And you have to buy, like,
wait, why is that? Why is the fact that they melt bad?
Just gotta keep replacing the candles.
That's the point.
It's hard to make them like stand. You have to burn the bottom and like.
Ugh.
So stupid.
It's like it might be the only Hebrew prayer I still know by heart. It's just because there were presents involved.
All right, go ahead. What is it?
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kitchanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Lahad L'Kner Shel Hanukkah.
He's not
a
race.
He nailed it. We should play this out the window here in Williamsburg.
We'd love it.
Start a traffic jam. So into it. Mashiach, Mashiach. I saw the video of this guy, and he's like dancing around with his eyes. He's like fucking Tina Turner, like doing that kind of energetic stage show, you know?
Of course.
It's great.
Of course.
Mitzvah.
So yeah, Hanukkah, cool.
I want to. Where's that part? I want to play the gibberish part. Here it is. No, what's he saying?
All I am saying is haggis.
What?
Haggis.
Haggis? He's talking about haggis? Okay. You wouldn't expect that from a Jew.
I know.
Talk about Jewish food.
I don't. He's singing in Yiddish. He's not singing in Hebrew.
Oh, is that right? I can't tell the fucking difference.
Oh, the Jews.
What about the Phil Robertson? We didn't talk about that. The Duck Dynasty guy.
Oh, yeah. So what is Duck Dynasty? I don't even know.
Wait, let's start with that. It's like a reality show. These guys opened a duck calling place, you know, like a store, and they just follow their business and their life.
They
their
act like ducks?
It's a duck calling? Like, what is it?
Yeah, like they...
Dude, you're getting too specific. It is a reality show about dumb, inbred,
yes.
backwoods rednecks.
Right.
And the father figure of all these dumb inbred, like the original guy who started raping his sisters, turns out he thinks homosexuality is a sin.
Shocking! Yeah, shock.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so what I love about that is that on Storage Wars, which is a competing reality show, there's apparently a gay person, and on TMZ, there was this headline, maybe my favorite headline of the year. Gay Storage Wars stars says Duck Dynasty hater is missing out on man ass. You don't know what you're missing. Basically, it was just like, oh, man ass is tighter than pussy. That was his argument. And like, you don't know.
But doesn't a woman have an ass,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, it's like, why, you can have anal with a woman.
No, but because the Duck Dynasty guy specifically said something about the vagina.
Yeah, yeah. He said like, but that was stupid, too. Like, it's like, I don't know.
I'm not agreeing with anything he said.
No, I realized the path I was going down wasn't it. I was self-evident that he was an idiot.
Yeah, so okay, so whatever. He said some stupid stuff about gay stuff, and then
A&E suspended him.
A&E suspended him, and then all of a sudden, all of these Constitution experts come out of the woodwork.
Freedom of speech!
Saying it's his freedom of speech. And it's like, yeah, he can say whatever he wants.
He did. It's covered on every fucking channel
no
now.
No one's saying he can't say that. He can say it.
Well,
but
not only did he say it, I mean, it went over the fucking TV to, like, millions of people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So how is his freedom of speech being curtailed?
At the same time, his employer is not the government.
Right.
Right.
And
they don't want their product soiled with his barbaric stupidity.
With his lunacy. What an insane...
People shouldn't be fucking no butthole.
It just really brings out the bigots, I feel, because it's like, oh, he was just speaking his mind, and so what? What did he say that was so bad? It's like, okay.
He got a right to be a bigot.
Is it, like...
Because what is it wrong to beat a fag with a rock? What's wrong with that?
But that's the thing.
But, exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah, no one's saying he can't be. He just can't be on A&E.
Yeah, like A&E just doesn't want to hire a bigot.
Why can't he be on A&E?
That's their right.
It's Adam and Eve. A&E, Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve.
It's not A&S.
No, that ain't A&S. You want an A&S channel? Go start a fag A&S channel. What's wrong with you?
What if it's Adam and Evan?
That shit's wrong, too. What do you think, is just Steve? What are you, stupid? What are you, stupid? You sure you didn't fall on your head instead of your butt cheek? I seen that thing back there. What you doing? I seen that video. That wasn't no stirs. That was some abdomen slapping into your butt.
What? Listen, every live cast fan knows I'm the top.
Listen, I know some ass banging when I see some. I've been around a lot of sheep. Female sheep.
Do you think he tested... Like, do you think he put some duck calls in his ass just to make sure he doesn't like anal penetration?
How does he know? That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's only fucked women, that's okay. Yeah. That's his.
Well, not even that he might enjoy being penetrated, but that he might enjoy penetrating.
Right. Because I would never, since I've never had gay sex, I would never say, oh, that's horrible. I just know I'm not attracted to that. But if someone else wants to do that, that's fine. I would never come out and say, that's fucking wrong. How can you do that? That sucks. You know, like, it's like he's an expert. So maybe he's had things in his ass.
Mm.
Like, he knows way too much about it, you know? I picture him, like, with the duck kazoos in his asshole, like, farting out fucking songs on it. This ain't so bad, I gotta tell you. I was wrong. Boy, this prostate rub ain't half bad. I see what all you queers is talking about.
Also, the comments on TMZ, like, I don't know what I was expecting, but, like, the lowest form of life.
But this is what I understand, because we were talking online about this. Like, TMZ, I feel, is not the kind of site that would be swarming with conservative religious idiots.
Yeah, I felt like with like the gossip, you would think it'd be more liberal leading women.
Women and gay men, I would feel, would be the top two demographics. Not the only, but like the top two.
So like one of the top comments, whoops, just puked on my keyboard. Like I said, poop has never been considered a sex lubricant. Like,
is that true? I don't know.
Well,
depends what you like.
I don't think gay men like that either.
Yeah, where does that come from? It's like, you can have a clean asshole.
I would think if you're preparing to have that kind of sex, you would wash your ass.
Well, mm-hmm. I think it totally makes sense that TMZ draws that audience. Like, the smart gay men are going to read something else, right? With something with personality.
Right.
I think that is all middle American idiots.
Okay, fair enough.
It's people who like to buy tabloids.
The next comment
there's
is
a lot of dumb gay people.
The New York Post, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it is. Well, they're both owned by Fox. So.
Right, but I'm saying, like, so who reads that bullshit?
Yeah, yeah. The next comment is reassuring, though. Guess their pencil peckers were just small for a woman. So if you have a small penis,
the anal helps you.
Yes, and it's easier to be gay because women don't like guys with small penises.
So gay guys
do
like guys with small penises.
Gay guys,
what?
That's the rationale here. Gay guys become gay because they have small penises. Like, women don't accept their penises.
Oh boy, I don't know. We should do a survey on some gay guys.
Yeah, size queen does not pertain. To gay men. It only pertains to women who are queens. Anyway, enough of this.
I'll read some more of those comments because they're funny.
So the man from Duck Dynasty is a Christian and doesn't believe in homosexuality. How does that make what he's saying homophobic?
Because he thinks gay people shouldn't have rights?
Doesn't believe in homosexuality, meaning
it does not exist.
Yes.
It's like Sean not believing in 9/11.
Yeah. Grow up. Just because people don't approve of this lifestyle doesn't make them homophobes. Jeez. Actually,
that's exactly what I mean.
I could care less who's loving who, but when you start getting pushy about what others believe, it starts to cross the line.
Yeah.
Oh, the irony.
It's so pushy to not let me be pushy about gay people.
How about you go about your life and they go about theirs? Misspelled, of course.
Yeah. It's not nice to not be nice to people who are not nice to gay people.
Let's see.
By the way, the voice you read that comment in was very gay-ish, I think. I think you were making some...
Oh, it's just Southern charm.
I thought it was social commentary that guy might be a closet queen.
Not a pecker queen.
I don't like no penis. I don't want to see that on TV.
Okay, here we go. Okay, to like butt is one thing.
Yeah, okay, well, let's just stop right there, because at least he's open-minded compared to the other guy.
But to like hairy man butt is gross.
So it's not the anal. You're not objecting
it's
to the anal.
It's how much hair is on the anal.
Right. So if a woman had hairy man butt, he wouldn't like that either.
A hole. Wait. But then he contradicts himself again.
Okay.
A hole is a hole.
Okay.
But.
That's it, period.
That's
a hole is a hole, butt.
But to want balls and penis, slapping your balls and penis is sick.
So who does that? Do gay guys, I don't know. I mean, do gay guys go and like slap balls
and
penis together?
If your balls and penis are slapping against another ball and penis, then your penis isn't in the butthole.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How big is this penis where it wraps around?
Maybe there's a third guy there.
Oh, you're right.
Them gays be having three ways. I can't stand
This last line is great, though. I don't know why same-sex people have to cross the friendship line. Sex is for procreation, not recreation.
Yeah. Never have fun when you're fucking. It's wrong. Copious quantities of Jim Beam. That's what you need to dull any of your senses while you're fucking. And also, them Jews have it right, I gotta tell you. Fucking through a sheet? That's the smartest thing ever invented.
The follow-up headline. Phil from Duck Dynasty rips homosexuals.
Yeah.
Man-ass can't compare to vagina.
He rips homosexuals? Maybe he has a really big penis and fucks homosexuals. And rips them. I'll rip them a new a-hole. Wait a minute. I take that back.
It's just so annoying. Here's a direct quote from Phil from Duck Dynasty. It seems like to me a vagina as a man would be more desirable than a man's anus. That's just me.
I agree.
Yes, that is just you.
For me, you're that's straight. Fine. I have no objection to what he said so far.
There's more there. She's got more to offer. I mean, come on, dudes. But hey, Sid, it's not logical, my man.
Sid, who's Sid he's talking
about? Sin.
Oh, Sin. Sin's not logical.
So, and then this is a great leap here. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality. Yeah,
morph out. The man's ass turns into a dog.
They always go right to bestiality.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Come on.
Now, I would, like, if you have a, if you, you could be straight and be into bestiality.
Right.
Just have sex with females.
That's though. Why he separated the two. Because it's not, you know. Gay bestiality would be way wronger than straight bestiality.
It's procreation, not recreation.
What if your penis and balls is rubbing up against that dog's penis?
That don't make sense.
That little lipstick cock with the red head sticking out, and you're rubbing your ball sack on it? That's wrong! I tell you.
Oh, no, Vampiro says, isolate Rob saying man ass can't compare to vagina. Oh, no, I said it again!
I have no position on this issue.
Oh, Dave Mustaine, no position? If only we can get Lars back on the line.
Yeah.
We probably could.
But are you saying Jim Brewer has nothing better to do?
Oh,
well, no, I'm saying we have his phone number.
Oh, you're right. We keep texting that.
How come he doesn't do Kirk Hammett?
What is a Kirk Hammett?
I get not doing why you wouldn't do Rob Trujillo, because I like who knows what the fuck that guy sounds like.
Right.
But
he's not allowed to talk.
I would think Kirk Hammett would be easy to do. Like, well, not for me because I'm not an actor, but I mean for someone like him.
Kirk Hammett's real easy to do.
What
he's a choir.
His voice is really high, and he's just trying to placate the other two assholes in the band.
True.
Come on, guys, let's not fight. You just do Michael Jackson banging people not to fight.
Come
and
on,
that's
guys.
Kirk Hammett.
Let's just stop fighting.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Why are you kicking that dog?
No, guys.
Dave, cut it out.
It's only in a little. I feel like it's a little whinier. Like, I think of the behind the music. It's storming and all the lights and James is on fire.
Why don't you try to pull up some Kirk Hammett audio? I could tell that boy is a little funny from 50 feet away. That was always a rumor when I was growing up that Kirk Hammett was gay.
Oh, he's married, though.
Well,
I mean, I guess that's
not. I was like 10 years old.
That's not
That doesn't mean you're not gay, but yeah.
Right.
My childhood rabbi was married and turned out to be gay.
Really? Is that for real?
I wonder why he chose that path.
Campion 95 wants us to do the Ron McGovney impression now. See if Jim could do that. That's a challenge.
Ron McGovney.
Just talk shit about everyone in the town.
Wouldn't you just be crying?
Yeah. Oh, my royalty check.
Going through all the gory details that went into creating this book and putting it all together.
All the gory details that went into creating this book. Come on, guys. Let's not fight.
Yeah. Yeah, just hold your nose. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I first got into...
Yeah, here's some of the behind the music.
The most popular heavy metal band in the world. They built their success on an uncompromising musical vision and the fierce loyalty of their fans.
We're just four lucky fans that got together and started.
This is a great behind the music.
This
by
could
the way.
Be you.
Their fans are so hardcore and so into.
There's a part in this where Kirk talks.
It's like almost like.
That's not him?
That's a warbot.
For Metallica, hard rock meant playing hard on stage and.
They should never play hard. Hard on is only for procreating.
You know, whatever the bill was, it was all worth it. It's all rock and roll.
This must be like 20 years ago.
Their drinking became a stuff of legend, and the rock press.
No wrinkles, aren't
alcoholica.
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 Alcoholica. Sounds like he's in our gang, like in the Little Rascals.
Metallica endured.
I really
share
think
hardship,
he's one of the choice.
The road horrors.
Like his material. I know it's not material, but the footage with him in that some kind of monster documentary.
Oh, with the solo?
All of it. Like anytime he opens his mouth, it's like, dude, do you listen to yourself?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Here, this.
Like that torch that they carry up the stairs to light the Olympic fire.
And they refused to surrender when a bus crash claimed the life of bassist Cliff Burton.
Oh.
And I turned around and I saw Cliff's leg sticking out
from underneath the bus.
Michael Jackson.
And I turned around.
I can't make fun of him talking about Cliff Burton.
You're right.
At the heart of Metallica's success lies the unity and collective strength of its four singular personalities.
We grew up together, and it was like family. And you're
one of the people in this are not in the band anymore.
Loving brothers.
I've been together with Janis Hetfield for half my life. There's a
tremendous amount. Oh, that's right. This was still during the
This was before Sanger. This was like late '90s.
Yeah.
They still are very close and still very compatible, and it is their baby.
James is like, I would say, the creative driving force.
Anything.
He's the creative driving
force. He tells me what to do. I have to get him coffee. He's so forceful.
Here's Kurt.
That solo sucks! Yeah!
Sorry.
Bob Rock is like, no.
I'm sorry, I did it wrong.
You start talking about the idea of the guitar solo as we have known it.
It's Jim Brewer.
It's something that was a little outdated and maybe reintroducing some riff along the things. But can I say something that I think is bullshit? This whole fucking solo out of, you know, save some old thing, that's so bullshit.
Yo, what's bullshit? Jose Mangan. He's a piece of shit.
Mr. Paul in the chat.
You know what's bullshit?
I saw that movie at an early screening, and there were 2 points when the audience went nuts, and that was one of them. Like, just burst into applause.
When he was whining.
Yeah, he's right.
He's whining.
He was the one, I feel like, the only person aware, semi-aware, in some sort of aware state of how insane what was going on was.
Right, the person least with the least creative control was the one with the most awareness.
He was the most out of the bubble. Yeah. Because he was
really?
Shoved out of the bubble.
I feel like he was bubbled.
Really?
Yeah.
He did as much on that album as Jason Newsted did on And Just
I feel like those scenes when he's working on lyrics, he's just like, oh my God, they're going to let me write lyrics.
Finally.
He's so fucking excited.
Oh,
I've got things to say.
Yeah.
People forget that he's the one, isn't he the one who wrote My Lifestyle Determines My Death Style?
I'm looking up the writing credits.
The single worst lyric in history. My lifestyle determines my death style.
Ugh. So bad. I was just watching that one clip reminded me when I first saw this movie, I could not listen to Metallica for at least 2 years after that.
Oh,
the documentary ruined Metallica for me because they seemed like such stuck-up assholes.
Yeah, remember the part where Lars is like, do I have to keep playing drums? Do I have to do another take?
Or,
you're a fucking drummer, yes!
Yeah, poor baby.
Or the part where James is like, we agreed, 12 to 4. That's when we work. And then we're not going to work. I don't like that you guys are working when I'm not here because I'm not a part of the process. Shut the fuck up. Like, you're such a baby. Okay, we get it. You're rehabbing. You're out of alcohol. Let them, they can't jam. Like, why do they have to be confined to your time constraint?
Dude, no jamming. What about the suggestion that nobody who auditioned for the bass player slot except for Rob Trujillo was technically capable of being in the band?
Oh, yeah, which was ridiculous.
He's like, it seemed a little bit above everybody else's skill level. Are you fucking kidding me?
You had some of the fucking best bass. Like,
it was not above
bases.
Scott Reeder's skill level. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Which one was What's Lifestyle Determines My Death Style? What's that song?
That's Frantic.
Kirk Hammond, main credit. Wow.
Boom.
But James Hetfield, Bob Rock, and Lars also have credit on that.
Frantic, tick, 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 tick.
Let's see the...
Didn't Kirk also write that great lyric, Nain, nu, 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 yeah? Here it is.
Kirk Hammett does have a lot of writing credits on St. Andrews.
Dude, they split the credit 4 ways across the board.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So it doesn't really it doesn't really tell you anything.
Ugh, Bob Rock. Ugh.
Here's another one he wrote.
What's Bob Rock?
Yeah!
That's a Kirk lyric?
Yeah, he wrote that. It was very deep. It took me a few hours.
I was just thinking, Bob Rock became the scapegoat for everything that was wrong with that band.
He's still getting plenty of work.
He is good.
He basically did Bon Jovi, The Cult, Offspring, Bush.
These are recent.
These are all in the last
Bush
year.
Bush has an album in the last year?
Yeah, Bush relaunched. Oh, it was a live album.
I
did
not know that. Okay.
Why is he producing a live album? I guess there's
and
just as much.
I know Bon Jovi did.
Loverboy?
What?
Yeah. Loverboy
put out alive?
Rock and Roll Revival last year, produced by Bob Rock. Nelly Furtado?
Bob Rock didn't do no Nelly Furtado. Well,
The Spirit Indestructible.
Really?
Produced by Bob Rock. Michael Bublé's Christmas. Oh, he was a composer. Credited as a composer
on
that.
Go Bob Rock.
I don't even think Bob Rock's like a bad producer. I think he's like a bad producer for Metallica.
311.
Exactly. Well, that's why I thought it was weird that everybody was like, people got really excited when they finally fired him.
Yes.
Because nobody was twisting Metallica's arm keep working with him for 10 years.
Yeah, like they were really listening. Yeah, like they were like, no, here's how we want it to sound. Yeah. Now do what you do really well to make it sound like that. Yeah. Like, I'm sure it wasn't his.
When that's not cool anymore, we'll just...
Yeah.
We'll throw you under the bus.
Well, I'm sure they still get along very well. And, he did a Lost Prophets CD.
I don't blame
Bob Rock.
I don't blame Bob Rock for like Load and Reload sounding like. I do blame him for Saint Anger though, because when you go into a studio with a band, I mean, there has to be at some point where you tap them on the shoulder and you go, "No, you can't do this." And Load and Reload are like good, like well, at least well mixed and produced albums. Yeah. Saint Anger is not produced. If you're a producer, you have to produce something. You know what I mean? Those are just demo tapes that were never altered in any way.
Yeah,
maybe
they were
awful. Had his intern work on that one.
Didn't somebody try to do like a mix of it? Like some engineer or something was like, here's what it would sound.
But it's already layered. Like, I don't know, how could you?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I guess, no, I'm thinking of Death Magnetic.
Right, made it quieter.
People complained about that, too. Like, I thought it sounded
Well, because it's compressed. It's just the new way of mixing. It's like the new Sabbath album sounds just the same. It sounds awful. Just right in the middle.
When people were complaining about Death Magnetic, I was like, you're finding stuff to complain about. I mean, come on. It sounds fine. I mean, not that it's a great album, but it sounds okay.
It is. I don't know.
Rick Rubin was there like a couple of days.
Didn't he do this?
More days than apparently on a Slipknot record.
Rick Rubin has heard it.
Allegedly.
I feel like the Sabbath record's probably the most work Rick Rubin's ever done.
Just because there was a camera crew. Right? So he was there for those days.
Oh.
I don't think Rick Rubin does shit.
No, I think he was like hands on with that one.
Really?
They probably paid him very handsomely for that.
Everybody pays him very handsomely. You think there's a cheap Rick Rubin record?
Do you think there's an hourly rate or a flat fee for Rick Rubin?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Maybe there's a downside. Here's my base. I'm going to be charging you hourly. If I go over it, you're paying the difference. If not, that's what I get.
I just can't imagine like Rick Rubin cutting anyone a deal.
Yeah, why should he?
Exactly.
Fucking Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
I recently learned Rick Rubin's vegan now, like raw vegan.
Great.
That's how he lost a bunch of weight.
Terrific.
I read something about it. I think it was in Spin that they followed him around for a week. And he was just talking about working with Kanye West and how Kanye West basically had 2 weeks to finish his album and was like, hey, I have 2 weeks to finish my album. I'm dumping all of it. I want to start from the beginning. Do you want to help me? He's like, there's no way you're going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Do you want to help me? Oh, by the way, I have to leave. I have a birthday party I have to go to. So just let me know. I'll be back in an hour. And then he's like, and he came back and we worked for 3 hours and it was great. And I was like, oh, I need to work with him. So, all right, great. Good. Nice to see how people with a lot of money work. People, like, I cannot even fathom the lifestyle of somebody as rich as, like, Rick Rubin or Kanye West. Like, Kanye West, like, who would say no to Kanye West? You know, like, he can get...
My lifestyle determines my death style.
Sorry.
He can get any thing he wants, whenever he wants, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's a lot like Dave Mustaine in that way, you know, like he's just a sheltered lunatic. You develop these ridiculous ideas because no one is around to tell you anything but yes, you know.
I mean, where was somebody to tell Metallica that, hey, when you do this 3D movie, no narrative.
Yeah.
The narrative is a waste of money.
Brutal. Just shoot the
or, footage. Or, hey, put it out a month before so you're not
going up against the biggest 3D movie of the past 5 years.
Gravity, yeah.
We're bigger than that movie, yeah.
Listen, guys, whatever you do, don't be on the poster.
Yep.
Should we get a movie star to put on the poster? No. Put a guy who might be a movie star 2 years from now, but also cover his face. Like, just because, like, fuck it.
Lots of shadows. We need shadows.
Yeah. Just all around, just
yeah,
the wrong
if
thing.
If you look at that poster, you think it's like National Lampoon's, you know, Through the Never, where it's just Metallica just sponsoring it, and they're not in it at all.
Yeah.
I always think it looks like an ad for like a really bad gang movie. Like, cause he's
yeah, like band. The Warriors. Yeah. It's like a war, like a
but monologue. Like sillier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wasn't, I feel like the fighting in it was very silly. And like,
I haven't seen it.
I look
like most of the world. Yeah, like, I opted not to go.
And not only that, like I think the most redeeming thing about that movie was the 3D experience of watching a live Metallica show with like the best mix you will ever hear with 3D. Like they actually use the medium properly in a live concert setting, and I feel like that cannot be recreated unless you have like a $2,000 3D TV and surround sound in your house. So it's like people now, where most people are going to see this movie on DVD or on regular Blu-ray. It's not. It's just like a concert DVD. There's nothing special about it. The whole special thing about it was the theater experience,
and
they totally. The cutscenes were complete. The only thing that was good about the cutscenes was it was a minor breather, but they were so lame. Like, anytime it would go to the cutscene, I would check out. I'd be like, whatever.
They should have made it a really cool story. Like, forget about hooking it up to Metallica. Just make some random story.
Right, but there it was just so...
They should have done one or the other.
Yeah.
They should have either had no story or, like, put work into the story.
Right,
and in any case,
half-assed it.
They should have told their audience what the fuck it was. Because people were coming up to Rob at Comic-Con when the movie had been open for, like, 2 or 3 weeks already. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, have you seen it? What's it about? And I was like, this is their target audience.
Yeah,
they have no
people.
Fucking idea
yeah.
what the movie's about. That's not good.
Stupid.
Oh, well.
Anyway. Thanks for buying it.
I told them. I told them they should advertise better, and they didn't listen to me as usual.
You know, if you don't play a guitar solo in one of these songs, that dates it to this period.
Yeah.
And that
right.
That's
right.
What trend is happening in music right now? I think that's stupid. I think it's totally trendy.
Like, St. Anger sounds so dated.
Yep.
It sounds very, very dated.
Shut up, Kirk.
You like listen to some of that stuff, and they were like. They were edging towards new metal. Really,
yeah.
Well, really silly.
Well,
active rock, I
in feel. Their defense, it's less dated and just more totally shitty. Like, it doesn't even sound like the things that were out then.
Yeah, but that riff at Frantic, I don't know. I can see all these idiots with,
this?
Like,
this
hunched
is totally
over.
A new metal thing.
Yeah,
this
I understand.
Right here?
Yeah, this is like K-rock music.
Like,
You know they're gonna do. Do you think they're gonna do a remaster of this, like in 20 years, like when it hits 20 years,
10 years from now? Since this is 11 years old, almost.
It's 2003. This came out.
Yep.
That's
fucking
yeah. Sense. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because last no.
It was in the summer of 2003.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Dick. Well, they didn't do anything for the 10-year anniversary.
No.
They.
What do you acknowledge?
Yeah.
Also,
it's sold.
But it's their lowest selling. Yeah, I think besides Kill 'Em All, it's their lowest selling album. I might be wrong about that.
Oh, okay.
I'd be curious to know it.
What was that, Darren?
You can't even carry a fucking note. Mediocre nothing.
let's see. It's
you are everything that's gone wrong in this world.
It sold 6 million so far.
Yeah.
Let's see, so it's done better than Death Magnetic.
Really?
Death Magnetic is only like 3 million.
Really?
Oh, it's sold a Reload is currently okay. Let's just do U.S. because it says globally it sold 6 million. It's certified 2 times platinum in the U.S. Then Reload is 4 times platinum.
What's
so 4 million?
Magnetic.
Let's see. Death Magnetic.
And platinum, by the way, just means shipped.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean sold.
Yeah. But, I mean, at this point, with the album that old.
Well, but, all right, really? I don't know. Chinese Democracy is technically a platinum album.
You're right.
Yeah, they
right.
Shipped 90% of the
well, Best Buy got the exclusive
back.
On that.
They shipped the whole thing, and Best Buy couldn't give it back.
Oh, it was, they're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you do that post where, like, the CD is actually worth less than, like, a blank CD or something?
No,
like
a
that?
Roll of toilet paper.
Oh, a roll, yeah.
I can order a single roll of toilet paper online for, like, 5 cents more than I can buy a brand wow. New shrink wrap copy of. Chinese Democracy.
And it's actually useful as toilet yeah. Paper, unlike Chinese Democracy.
Death Magnetic is 2 times platinum. So okay, so we could say that Death Magnetic, if they're on the same trajectory, yeah. Would be outselling.
It's really time to stop using that as a
yeah,
criterion,
it doesn't really
matter,
though. Sure. Black Album, though, is still crushing everything.
Well, that's fucking... I'm just
2,000 a week. It's
I
absurd.
I can't believe it.
Absurd.
I just want to know who those 2,000 people are.
Yeah, like yeah. 2,000 people a week, you said it.
Yeah, that boggles my mind. Like who?
I feel like it's 2,000 50-something-year-old stoners who just can't find their copy of the Black Album.
Every week.
Every, and they're like, ah, fuck it. And they just
wait,
go to
they're
bed.
Like, wait, did I go to the store and buy it? No. I got to go again.
Yeah, and they go wherever and they get it. Like, I can't, it's not kids. Kids would just be downloading it, right?
It's yeah. Digital, too, though. Like, if they're on iTunes, you know, like, if it's an iTunes purchase.
But maybe Metallica has so much
but
money.
But kids, when I say, I'm sorry, when I say kids would just be downloading it, I mean they would be illegally downloading.
Right, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but some people don't illegally download.
Right, but I, still old people, right? No, I shouldn't, no, that's not true at all.
Yeah, kids who have their parents, right. You know, credit card info right. In their iTunes. Right.
Maybe Metallica goes to every store and buys every copy of it every week just to inflate.
It's Ron McGovney.
Yeah, that's Ron.
Through the Never this week was the highest charting Metallica record, their soundtrack, 2,400 sold, a total of 70,000 records. That's free what? Money for that.
That soundtrack there... was probably the best investment in the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's the most profitable thing from the yeah, movie, easily. Without question.
Is there anything in that soundtrack that's not just live versions of old songs of theirs?
It's that's all it is.
Okay.
It's wait. Just a repackaged live album. It's the movie repackaged as a CD.
They for real don't play Through the Never in the movie?
For real.
Why the fuck is it called Through the Never?
It doesn't make sense. It has no reference. Like, there's no reference to it in the plot. There's nothing. It
I'm
just,
kind of stoked for it to come out on DVD just so I can see it.
Yeah,
it's in the trailer. They play that song in the trailer.
No, they don't.
I heard it. I swear I heard it in the trailer.
Are you sure it's not Master of Puppets? I think Master of Puppets.
No, they played like a cuts of different songs.
I don't remember.
Let's check it out.
Okay.
But yeah, like some other sales for Metallica records. I have this week's charts here. So Metallica, the self-title actually outsold Through the Never. Metallica, 2,486, Through the Never, 2,462.
Well, it's Christmas.
Yeah. And it's wow, the Black Album is almost at 16 times platinum.
That's amazing.
It's 15,941,000.
And what chart are we looking at here?
This is the top hard rock, hard and just like heavy music album.
Because I'm looking at this and it's like all bands from the 90s or earlier.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are the tops, like Korn, Linkin Park. Yeah,
this
like
my
these,
point, like
Nightwish. No, Nightwish is pretty. How is Nightwish selling 3,000 copies? Oh, it's their first week.
Okay. Weren't we giving those away like as yeah. Coasters before?
The new one.
Shipping them all to Rob's house.
Let's see what other, I think there was more. Oh, Master of Puppets sold 1,500 this week. It's almost 5 times platinum. Ride the Lightning sold 1,500 right behind. Master Puppets to be 5 times platinum. Justice, also 1,500. I guess everyone's just buying Metallica discographies for Christmas. Justice outsold both of those. It's already at 5.5 million. A ridiculous catalog of way too many albums sold.
Well, no, those are the good ones.
Yeah.
I'm fine with all of that.
And those are the ones that chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of, Load, Reload, nope. And...
aren't there.
Death Magnetic isn't
you know
never
what?
Charts.
I apologize to humanity. My faith is restored. I
what's crazy too is seeing how they outsell modern bands. Like in this moment, Pierce the Veil. Who the fuck?
Well, they're better than In This Moment. I would rather listen to that than
Jimi Hendrix. I think.
Yeah, that's the best of.
Oh,
Black Sabbath Paranoid selling 1,600 this week. That's only sold 1.6 million.
Though. Wait, did that outsell 13 this week?
13 sold 2,500.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
13 approaching gold. I'm surprised that hasn't gone platinum. I guess that's just going to be a constant seller for them.
13?
Yeah. 2,500, like, so many weeks in, isn't that bad? But yeah, we're talking about chart numbers.
that's interesting.
I was just thinking about, you know, sales will go through the roof for that album when one of them dies.
Sabbath?
Yeah. That's the silver lining for that album.
I saw Alter Bridge on there.
Yeah, oh yeah, let's see. They have a new album out. I've seen the press releases. Fortress.
Didn't sold, they? Sorry, Dad.
Sold 55,000 so far.
The 20... Christopher Lambert movie?
No.
Oh.
Didn't they play some WWE theme song, Alter Bridge?
Yeah, Korn was the last WWE. Their Never Never single was the one for the last pay-per-view. I thought that was funny.
No, I'm talking about some wrestler.
Oh, they played live?
No, they played some wrestler's theme.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Alter Bridge.
Let's see.
Okay, I'm not sure who I'm thinking of.
Edge.
Is that them?
Oh, wow.
On this day.
Yeah, I guess so.
Play that song.
There we go.
Metalingus, that's what it's called. That's the worst name
you
of the song.
You think you know me?
Oh, I see clearly.
On this day.
I see clearly. Everything has come to life.
Set a broken dream, and I leave it all
behind. You love
behind.
This song, Derek.
It's a good song.
Yeah. On this day, it's so real to me. Sad paper.
Someone in the chat's making a comparison.
Cast it out.
Oh,
hard cut.
Hard cut. I couldn't.
Sandpaper.
Yeah. It's so real to me.
Black hat of witchcraft, just honey black.
Sandpaper.
Sandpaper. Here we go. I got it.
Oh, we have to listen to the actual song.
Oh, yeah.
Scratch a witch hunting black.
Sandpaper. I realized why they're called Fozzie, because he sounds like Fozzie from the Muppet Show.
Well, initially...
Waka, waka, waka!
I think they were a Sabbath and Ozzy cover band.
So?
To start off. That's why they were
where's
Fozzie.
Where's the F come from?
Just... He was Fozzie Osbourne. That was just a goof.
Oh, whatever. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Black Sabbath.
Oh. Beth from Kiss? She...
Beth.
Oh, Beth?
Beth. That's why it's Fozzie, Black Sabbath.
I gotcha. Someone in the chat writes, Scott Stapp's new album is the heaviest shit ever. Wrong!
Is that a sarcasm, or is that guy just to really think that?
I don't know.
I don't care enough.
I hated Scott Stapp. Like, when Creed was big, greatly disliked it. I still don't understand who actually listened to I knew one person who actively listened to them. Yes. Other than that.
And we can't speak ill of him.
Never met anybody.
Our good friend Jeff.
Yes. So he can like Creed.
In heaven.
No one else.
In heaven, all they play is Creed.
Oh, God.
Because it's such good godly music. You know?
Do you like Creed, Axel?
They're the best.
I don't seem to believe you.
They're so sick.
With cues.
They are the band for which the second Q in sick exists.
All right. Well, it's been another excellent show. Thank you so much to Axel Rosenberg.
Thanks for having me.
Of metalsucks.gov.
Don't forget to plug Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer, thank you for calling in. Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town is his new single.
Mm-hmm.
And look out for his new heavy metal album, and starring Darren, apparently.
3D.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You could have been joking about that.
You're right. Let's look forward to Darren's metal album,
yeah,
featuring
that.
A special appearance by Jim Brewer.
Oh, Jesus.
Naturally, his management company, they're just going to come calling for you, Darren.
And also Pig Destroyer.
Oh, yeah, Blake from Pig Destroyer. Thank him for calling in. What a great sport. Hopefully he'll have some podcasts for us
in
the future.
Did you ask him to call in, or was he just calling in?
No, he's just
as
a
listener. He's a fan.
He knew about our goodbyes, too, so he obviously has to listen, which is great, which is so nice of him.
So nice that we listen to his music and he listens to our music.
Our talking music?
Our metaphorical music. Yeah. We make music with our voices.
We create.
Spoken word.
La, 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 la.
No, no, please. No, not real music.
La, 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 la.
He's listening to this right now, and he just unplugged.
La, 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 la. We're making music. I'm glad I sang over that.
Jose Magan is a piece of shit.
All right. We'll be back next week.
We have a song here to play out with.
Oh, excellent.
This is a song that was produced by Bob Rock, and it's the lyrics are written by Kirk Hammett.
Excellent.
And next week is Darren's birthday show.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll be staying 39. The Great Lover Boy on Metal Injection Radio. Everyone's watching.
I love Jose Mangan. Jose Maggot is a piece of shit.
Well, shake your booty.
Abhorrent. Thoughts. Abortion. Bestiality. Premature ejaculation. Irishmen who drink. Breastfeeding and fox.
Pew, pew, pew. I think so. Yeah. Of course. Oh, yes. What? Well, cinnamon pizza is ready for a lot of reason. That's good. It's missing from the Hello? I think so. Funny. S-H-L-O-M-O-I-N-E.
I definitely got a friend, a giant black cock.
Get the fuck off the internet!